oftentimes we become so involved in the things of life that we really forget the meaning of life. Not intentionally, not because we want to forget God, not because we want to ignore our responsibility to God and to Jesus Christ and to His church, but simply because there are so many things that are out here that detract us, take our attention away from those things which are important. My message this morning is titled, Is There a Life Before Dying? I'm sure that we're all conscious of all the things that are going on in the world. At least we know something about some of the things. We read it in the newspaper. We hear things that are presented by the newscasters. We hear the comments on the street. And everywhere we go, we say, we hear people saying, what will be happening next? What will be happening next? And I'm sure that when we hear all of these things and see so much going on around us, it's easy for us to forget that there's a God. There is a God who sees that which is going on and understands it. And I'm sure at the same time we might ask ourselves the question, but why does He allow these things to go on? If there is a God in heaven, why does He allow the violence? Murder is becoming as common as traveling down the highway anymore. Robbery is a thing that just is expected. Burglary is a thing that is just around the corner. You know, you just do not know when things will happen. It happened last week on our own property. So you do not know when things will go wrong. Then you begin to ask yourself the question, but really, is there a meaning to life? Can there be anything good that is in this life? We hear a lot of preachers talking about all the good things which are to come. I've done a lot of that talking myself. But at the same time, a question might be very well raised, but what about this life? What about right now? After all, if I'm allotted 70 years, what will come out of the life that I am living? Can I enjoy it just as it is? That's what you really want to face. You've heard about the problems the fighting that has been going on over in Ireland. In Ireland, it's supposed to be a Christian nation. Warfare taking place continuously between the Protestants and the Catholics over there. One blows up someone in the south, someone will blow up someone in the north, and it goes on back and forth or in between. Men and women and children, old and young, have been destroyed by these so-called Christian people. And so there's a continual parade to the cemetery. Not too long ago, there was scrawled on the cemetery wall, after a funeral had taken place as a result of a bombing, the very words which are the title to my message today. Is there a life before dying? Is there a life before dying? I want you to ponder that this morning. I want you to think about it because it's so important to your everyday existence. It's so important that to you because it will help you face each moment of life just as it is. There's a saying that's floating around more and more all the time. It simply says, one day at a time. In the scripture, we find an answer to several things, and I'll not try to resolve the problem, but I want to address this question from the standpoint of the scripture, because this is the only true foundation for any message that can come from this pulpit. And I will use texts which I have used before in different ways, in different messages, but I want to try to bring them together. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to look at these words, beginning with verse 19. We've often read verse 15 where it says, I set before you this day life and good and death and evil. But I want you to go to the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. And isn't it strange here that he was talking to people who are living? He's talking to people who are breathing. He's talking to people who are going about their daily activities. So he cannot be talking about the ordinary activities of life. So he is here saying, I call you to witness, or I'm setting this before you right now. And I want you to see that you are given a choice to choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. And I see that he is going beyond. He is going just a step beyond the ordinary. Because if you will read, and I'll not turn to it this morning, but in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, he sets before the children of Israel blessing and cursing. He tells these people, if you want to do what God wants you to do, you will be blessed. And if you want to walk in the ways of the world, then you can expect the world's rewards. And what can the world give you but that which is temporal, that which flees away, that which anybody can take from you? Because a thief can come in the night. Illness can strike you. Economic depression can come. And all of these things which we hold near and dear with our houses and our lands and our bank accounts and so on, these things can be, and our very lives, physical lives, can be taken from us, as it were, in just a moment. Right at this moment, there are two 19-year-old girls in the Greenville Memorial Hospital who are in deep comas from which the doctors do not expect them to rise. So that they say, well, I've got plenty of time. I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. And when you face the tragedy and the heartache of a trial like that, you ask, where is God? You see, Scripture points out again that time and chance comes to all people. All things, that again, it says that all things shall work together for good. I've never been able to figure all of that out. I'll say that very frankly from this pulpit this morning. I do not know how all things can be good. It doesn't say that, does it? It says all things shall work together for good. So we notice that the reason here in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, that the man is stating what he is this, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, or separate yourself from the world unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy day. Now some individuals live to be 90 and do nothing, and others live to be 16 and make a mark on the lives of other people. And so he is saying here that the Lord is the length of thy days. The Lord is the one who brings you blessings. The Lord is the one who separates you from the things which are common and ordinary and shows you how to put meaning into your life, though you may not have anything to put into your home, in your stomach, or otherwise into those things which are common and ordinary to life. He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So he is saying here, I am giving you these things. I am promising you these things. The Lord God, he is thy life. I can recall a number of years ago when I was pastoring a little church in another state, When the, at that particular time, when the, there were about as many people there, 90 to 100 people there, when in that particular congregation, on any particular Sunday, I doubt that if they could have emptied all the purses and all of the pocketbooks that were in that church on the, that particular, especially in the winter season, that you could have found $50. There wouldn't have, it wouldn't have been there. In fact, I recall one time in one particular church where someone put a $10 bill in the offering plate. And the deacons, after they had received the offering, they had been counting it, had been accustomed to receiving about $10 in the whole offering, opened or came up, found this, and they came up to the pastor and whispered in his ear, said that somebody must have made a mistake, and we don't want to take away the living of this family. And they wanted to, you know, they were willing to give it back. Somebody had probably thought they had a $1 bill. Those were times when things were really hard. But there were they were also times when people came together not to simply have a good time as such, but came together in the fellowship with the Lord, with the God of their Creator, and with Jesus Christ, their Savior. And they came not depending upon substance, but they came depending upon God. And this is what it is saying here. Again, the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we read these words in the 47th verse. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, to, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land. And for he says in this 46th verse, set your heart unto all of the words of God. Set your heart upon the things of God. Oh, how we could, we have a desire to turn the hearts and minds away from the things that are happening today. As a pastor, we see the gradual turning of people to the things of the world. We see individuals who were once strong who are no longer serving. And we see the net result of it. Or as we read in the scripture, we're often found guilty of putting that which we have in bags which are filled with holes, and that what we have seems to dissipate, seems to go. We don't have to lose it. You don't have to lose $10 bills and $100 bills and all of those things in order to know that they're gone. But there are so many things which simply take it away, take away what we have. And so it is your life to serve the Lord. We're not talking here about monetary things just as such. We're talking about the hope that we have. I can look and you can look. Anyone with any insight at all can look at the things which are happening in this world and can come quickly to the realization that man himself cannot straighten out the dilemma in which we find ourselves. Man cannot resolve it. I read in the editorial page of the newspaper, and I find more news there that makes sense than in the other parts of the paper, where it says the only reason that we did not have a nuclear or a conflict between Russia and the United States of America over this killing of these at least 50 citizens of the United States a week or so ago was the fact that Russia realizes and the United States of America realizes that there would be not be 269 lives lost, but literally millions of lives lost all over the world. Now, if this is a situation, then we must come to the realization that men are building more armaments. Now we're going into nerve gas and all other kinds of things, horrible things. And so if we turn to the Word of God, we turn to the Word of God and we see that the only hope that man has is in serving God Himself. From the 11th Psalm, Psalm 11, I read some interesting words. I think that the gospel is in the Old Testament as well as in the New. I think the message of hope is there. And we say, notice here, it says, verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, His countenance doth behold the upright. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And so he is talking here about individuals who think in the right way. You as individuals know that what you think you gradually become. When you walk in the ways of the world and you dabble around in the ways of the world, eventually you're going to be a person of the world. And you will receive the world's reward. But it says here that if you love righteousness, the Lord, the righteous God, will love you and your life. And so he blesses us. Oh, I've told you many times that we cannot escape the fact that we all have difficulties. We cannot escape the fact that we're all to have trials and tribulation. But in the 34th chapter of the Psalms, or the 34th Psalm, if you may, we notice these words in the 17th verse. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But you say, wait a minute, that's not true. I had trouble last week, and I didn't feel that the Lord delivered me out of those things. But yet, when you turn to God and you begin to think about that God is the one who is in control, and that though the wrong seem oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And you think then beyond that in terms of the fact that there are troubles that you have escaped, there are difficulties that you have not gone through. You are still alive. You still have a measure of faith, of health. And so through this measure of faith then, you see that you, that God is working, that God is alive. He has kept you. And then you know that though the trouble is there, you have been delivered out of that trouble because your mind is fixed in faith on the Almighty God and trusting in Him. In the 18th verse it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as of a contrite spirit. But verse 19, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions. It doesn't say we'll escape, but everything, that we'll never have trouble, that you'll never have heartache. But he says that finally, though, verse 8 and 21, evil shall slay the wicked. You see, righteousness gives life, but evil shall slay the wicked. It doesn't even say that God's going to do it, does it? Evil shall slay the wicked. Their very way of life will bring them to a place of desolation. Like I was saying to a man the other day after a place had tried to break into the place over there, I told this individual who probably did it, I said, well, they were out here and they dusted it and trying to find fingerprints, they're going to get the person. The individual looked at me and dropped his head and walked off. All right, those things are there, and he's going to have to pay eventually, whether he's arrested or otherwise, he will eventually have to pay for the things that he's done simply by the conscience, the stabbing of the conscience, if he still has one, for the things that he has done. So then we go to further back to the 34th chapter of the book of the Psalms. Psalm 34, and we read some words here in the 12th through the 14th verses. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? What man is he that desireth life, that loveth many days? You want a good life. You want everything to be fine. But I see individuals whose lives are nothing more than shells because of the things that they're doing. I knew a young man, perhaps I've told you this before. This young man had studied the scripture. He had walked seemingly with the Lord for a time, but there came the day when he said to himself, well, I'm smarter than others. I'll get by with something. And so he began to, he smoked a little pot, and then he went to a few more things, and he went to a few more things. Today, that young man's mind is absolutely and completely, totally blown. And he is not able or capable of facing the realities of life. And so it says here that we should depart from evil, verse 14, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteousness, upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And we may not like to hear these things, but there is a matter of life of God presenting to you life, and it's a matter of you of God presenting to you death. We may not like to say to ourselves, well, God will judge me for what I do. Nevertheless, the Scripture does say that God will judge us. And so we look then to Psalm 146, to verses 3 and 9. Psalm 146, verses 3 and 9. I'm staying in the Psalm because it has so much to do with the matter of life and its blessing. Notice here Psalm 146, and we'll look at verse 4. Put not your trust, I'll read 3 with it. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. And then verse 9. The Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. And I think that's an important thing again. He turneth the way of the wicked upside down. I've had people say, I just don't know how things can get any worse than they are. This is going wrong and that's going wrong. Oh, I know things like troubles come and bunch it like grapes and bundles. At least 3 things happen. This goes wrong and that goes wrong. But if the Lord is on our side, then we are abundantly blessed. At least through the eyes of faith, we can see better things to come. And we know that the presence of the Lord is with us. But nevertheless, the way of the wicked, this is the verse I wanted to catch, the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Now, we know the oft-quoted text, Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What I have been trying to say to you this morning is this, that there is a life today, that there is a life today, and that we look forward to better things to come, it's true. But in our physical, mortal state, there is a life today. If that life is based upon faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ, if we're looking to better things to come, it gives us a reason to live now. It doesn't mean that you never have heartache and you never have trial and that you'll never have any troubles whatsoever. But again, we recognize that there are many things that are ordinary. There are many things that are very common to life. But God in His mercy and in His goodness and in His grace and in His love cares for us through them all. And so He does give us the wages. He allows the wages of sin to take their toll even in this present time. The individual who will not serve God pays a price, a horrible price, every day. I've stood with people and heard them curse God and curse their fellow man. I've seen individuals who brought all types of trouble on themselves because of their sin, very personal sin. I've seen individuals who have lost their houses and their land because of personal sin. I've seen this and that, and I've dealt with them and tried to talk with them, but they've always blamed someone else and often even blamed God. Then on the other hand, I've seen individuals who've gone through trial when they lost everything. My own parents lost everything that they had through the Great Depression. My mother died in the midst of it, and my father never forgot God. And he never forgot to praise God for His goodness, and he never forgot to teach his children the right way. And so today we believe that God also cares for us, and He keeps us close to Him. In the 11th Psalm, I'd like you to read these words with me. Notice carefully, Psalm 11 and verses 5 and 6. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Notice here carefully. I said a while ago, God has in store good things for those who love Him. But there's a part here that is forgotten. Unto, it says here, the Lord trieth the righteous, the wicked his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. I didn't say it, God did. He said there'll be snares. Fire and brimstone, that's trouble. Some people call it hell, and there's hell on earth, if I might put it that way, for many individuals. They're going through troubles that they God doesn't want them to have. But if you notice here, this shall be the portion of their cup. Troubles, trials, difficulties, everywhere they go, nothing goes right because they turned away from God. But again, we would ask God to bless us and sustain us and show us the way. And I would like you to turn with me to Proverbs 11th chapter. Proverbs 11th chapter. And notice these words. These are the words with which I want to close this morning. It says, verse 30 and 31, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is one. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. I want you to think that God has set before us all life and death. I want you to realize that we go through trials. But I also want you to think that there is a life before dying. That God says he will keep us, he will love us. Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, who went to the cross, was raised from the dead, also stated, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. When you get weary in life, when you're tired and worn out and you do not know what to do, turn to your God and go to someone and cheer them just a little bit and strengthen them and help someone along the journey of life. When you look at life as it is, it's a mixture of many things. But set your affection on the things of God. And I know that God will reward you abundantly. Yes, if you love your life, it says you'll lose it. But for his sake, if you lose it for his sake, you will find it again as you enjoy more fully the life of this present time. And certainly you will enjoy life everlasting in the coming kingdom of God. I trust that you will want to walk with God and walk with Jesus Christ and serve God and Jesus Christ until God sees fit to send his Son Jesus Christ to this earth again to remove the evil from this world and establish the everlasting kingdom of God upon this earth. Tonight we're going to be talking about some of the things that God has said will come to pass in the last times as we prepare ourselves for the day when we'll meet Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. If there's anyone here this morning who would give their heart and their life to God through Christ Jesus, who would say, by coming forward, God's way is the best way, and I want to serve him, we invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer as a coming King. Give your heart and life then in devotion to him, and I'm sure that you will be abundantly blessed today and find that there is a life. This life, filled with the grace of God, is a real way of life. As you await the coming of Jesus, may God bless you as you make this decision.